Today on Real Radio.
This centurion, who's a hard man, he's a centurion. He leads 100 men of the Roman army. He's there as an occupier, spit on, made fun of, mocked. It's his job to be tough. This guy is moved with compassion toward his servant. Compassion is your pain in my heart.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're in a presentation taken from the opening verses of Luke chapter 7. Remember, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, came for his people first. But this is among the first accounts of a Gentile having an encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Faith Has to Say.
And the centurion heard that Jesus was coming. But faith, real true faith, sees God outside the box. Remember, the children of Israel carried God around, so to speak, in a box, didn't they? When they were in their wilderness wanderings, God had given them the architectural design of the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, there I will meet you, didn't he? And that's where he met them. The glory of God in the tabernacle of meeting with Moses shone over that ark. Then the ark was moved into the temple of God in Jerusalem. And so, in a sense, God was out of the box and in the temple. The Bible tells us that when Solomon was there and the temple was completed, the glory of God illuminated the temple, and the priests could not even enter inside the temple due to the fact of the presence of God. Can you imagine? That would be awesome. Can you imagine looking at the glow of God coming out of the temple, and you're supposed to go in because the priest order, okay, go in, and you're going in, and it's like, wow, I'm not going to go in there. This is altogether awesome. But then listen, the temple no longer stands. And if we understand the Bible, that's a very fine thing for us. Because you know what? Our God, even King David said, our God cannot dwell in temples made with hands. Did you hear that? You can't make a box to put God in. You can't make a building to put God in. God doesn't dwell in this building until you show up. You say, what? It's true. God doesn't dwell in this building until you show up. Because if you're a believer, says the Bible, if you're born again, says Jesus, we are now temples of the living God. He dwells in us. And wouldn't it be amazing for a moment that if we cut ourselves, if we tripped and hurt our, you know, we got a little rip on our knee, that wouldn't it be amazing if the glory of God kind of shot out of that little, look, he's glowing. But that's not true, but I'm just saying the Bible does say that the Holy Spirit dwells in us who are believers. And it's no more that kind of earthly glory, the glory is coming, or I should say we're going to it. Unless Jesus comes today and comes to us and brings it. But the truth of the matter is, faith is outside the box, and a true manifestation of that is if we call upon the Lord. And this man is going to be calling on the Lord. Secondly, faith says, think outside the box, because faith knows to get to Jesus. Have you noticed everywhere in the world, Jesus Christ is either worshiped or hated? His name is either praised or cursed all around the world. How do you explain that? In any culture, it's bizarre. Jesus' name is cursed or praised. People bow their head to thank him for lunch, and people curse him when they hit their finger with a hammer. The name of Christ. You'll either run from it or you'll be drawn to it. This centurion, as we shall see, he's thinking outside the box. He's thinking this, if God is God, and I've listened to some of these sermons that are being held in the synagogue. If God is God, then he's big. If God is God, then he's not burdened or laden with the little silly things that humans bicker back and forth about. Think about it. If God is God, the centurion, I'm assuming, I'm making this up right now. The centurion could have thought, if God is God, if he's not contained in a box, and he's not contained in a building, then how can he be contained among just a people or just a race or just a group? Maybe God is reaching out to everybody, calling to all people. Maybe for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we would say today, amen? Maybe. Maybe if you're Filipino, Italian, maybe if you're Russian or Spanish, or maybe if you're a German or a Canadian, that you can call out to God. That's thinking about God outside the box. No one can come up and say, well, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or how about this? I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Calvary Chapeler. That doesn't impress God, nor does that grant you access to God. He's not limited by a denomination. He's not limited by a movement. He's awesome. He's beyond all that. The Bible says God is spirit. And he's looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. So look at verse 3. He knows, because faith knows to get to Jesus. So when he heard about Jesus, have you heard about Jesus? He sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. We can't spend too much time on this verse, but it is pregnant with power. Look at this. So when he heard about Jesus, and so the question begs, what have you heard about Jesus? Church, are you with me? You're awful quiet. Are you here? What have you heard about Jesus? Has that affected you? You think something about him based upon what you've heard. Some people say, I have no problem with Jesus. It's Christians I can't stand. I understand that. I had a friend of mine who's a pastor of a church, and he said, you know what? I love God. Christians just drive me nuts. And he's the pastor of the church. I understand that. But listen, what have you heard about Jesus?
I don't go to church anymore because I had a pastor one time hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry, but what have you heard about Jesus? It's about Jesus. Secondly, this Roman centurion, Italian, pizza-eating spaghetti guy sends Jewish leaders, Jewish religious leaders, listen to this Italian centurion, and he says to them, hey, can you guys go to Jesus? Well, we don't like Jesus. Yeah, you know what? Just listen to me. I'm asking you religious leaders, go to Jesus and plead with him to come here, please. My servant's sick. And they go. What kind of religious leaders are they? Well, we know that they appreciate the fact that they make a statement, this man loves our nation and built us a synagogue. That's their observation. That's their appreciation. This guy doesn't care about that. He cares about one thing. His servant is sick. And you might say, well, Jack, this is a message on slavery. No, it's not. Sounds like it in the English, I guess. My servant's sick. Jesus, come heal my servant. I can't pick up my coffee. Jesus, come and heal my servant. Who's gonna, you know, vacuum the hut? That's not what this is about. In fact, we can prove it. The very wording that's used here is that the centurion loves his servant. The word is compassion. Plead with Jesus. Beg him to come. Because listen, what pains my servant is heavy on my heart. He doesn't even care about him being a servant. He cares about his servant being relieved of the suffering that he's in. Listen, you know if you have true compassion when someone else's pain becomes the burden of your heart. When you look at somebody else and you say, oh, Lord, help them. Oh, God, I would give my right hand to bless them. Have you ever looked at somebody and you're moved? It's a supernatural thing. It doesn't happen every time. Have you noticed that? When you just might glance over and you see someone, have you seen someone who's handicapped or someone who's been somehow disadvantaged or broken down on the freeway and you're moved? I was coming home the other day and that was a great broad freeway and there was a divider in between. There was no physical way for me to get back on the other side of that freeway to help that lady who was just about, and watch this, guys, you cringe when you think of this. Her car, you could see the steam coming out of her hood. She raises her hood as I'm driving on the opposite direction, and I see her reaching for the radiator cap. Oh, man, ladies or guys, if you don't know, don't ever touch your radiator cap in that situation. And I just said, oh, Lord Jesus, don't let her touch it. I couldn't do anything about it but shoot a fast prayer up to heaven. And I just thought of her hands being scalded and burned, leaving some flesh on that cap when she jerked her hand away. You look at somebody and you're moved and you would say, if I could just give them my own eye, that they might have sight. You're moved by that. This centurion, who's a hard man, he's a centurion. He leads 100 men of the Roman army. He's there as an occupier, spit on, made fun of, mocked. It's his job to be tough. This guy is moved with compassion toward his servant. Compassion is your pain in my heart. That's the word that he would say today if that centurion was here. But listen, either knowingly or unknowingly, knowingly, get to Jesus. That's his request. And unknowingly, would he say that I need Jesus too? Is this story much broader than what we give it face value when we look at it? He hears about Jesus. He sends the elders, and they're pleading under his orders. I want you to go to him. I want you to plead with him and ask him to heal my servant. This is amazing. This centurion could have had Jesus arrested and brought. Did he? No. Third consideration under this point, faith says, think outside the box. Because faith cries out to God. Faith cries to God. Verses 4 and 5. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly. That is, they pleaded, saying that the one whom you should do this is deserving. How come? Verse 5. For he loves our nation and he's built us a synagogue. Because faith cries out to God. Very, very important. So, verses 4 and 5. Notice this. This is what they say. And here's the inside of it. Beautiful. By the way, there's a second level that existed. Notice what they say. Church, listen carefully to this. Hey, this guy is right on. Jesus, will you come? We're pleading with you. We're begging you. Come. Here's the reasons why. Number one, he loves our nation. He's sympathetic to the Jewish nation. Number two, he built us a synagogue. I mean, how cool is that, Jesus? Come on. I mean, from one Jewish guy to another. This Gentile built us a synagogue. So what's the word they use? He's deserving. Doesn't it sound nice? And it is nice. It's just not correct theology. Yeah, there's a lot of people running around today saying, God bless me because I've been really obedient to you. God bless me because I'll give you 10%. God bless me because I'll do this and I won't do the other. You think God goes, oh, goody, goody, wow. He's not impressed with that stuff. That doesn't move him. Jesus, he's very deserving. You've read the Bible. Is any man deserving of the goodness of God? The Bible says no, not one. You say, Pastor, evidently you haven't met me yet. I'll meet you in the foyer after service. No, sweetie, not even you. Not even you. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, starting with me. Paul the Apostle said, no, starting with me. Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. Paul the Apostle said that. Every one of us who know and have taken a close look at the Word of God, we tell Paul, scoot over, I'm the chief of sinners. Have you noticed that? He said, Jack, I don't like when you talk like that. I want you to talk positive. I am talking positive. Just wait. It gets really good, I hope, anyway. It should. And so they say he's worthy. But the truth of the matter is this. The Bible makes it very clear that what's happening here is that this man is being converted, or if not, is already converted to his faith or trust in faith upon Christ. Get Jesus. I'm calling out to God. I need Christ. Why? Because my servant needs help. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 11 to 13, for the scripture says, listen, whoever believes on him, that word means to pull up, a chair and sit down. Do you have that kind of confidence? You just come in and just sit right down. You're so sure that Jesus is your Lord. Listen, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between the Jew or the Greek, or the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich toward all those who call upon him. Isn't that great? There's nobody closer to God than somebody else. Americans are not closer to God. For that matter, Israelis are not closer to God. We go to Israel, you know, and they say, now when you welcome to Israel, we're glad that you're here, and you pray while you're in our country, you pray all you want, because when you pray here, it's just a local call. Did you get that? Local call when you pray to God, closer? No, not really. God says no. Very important. Point number two in our study this morning, verses 6-8, what faith has to say. Faith says, we are not worthy. Well, you write that down, you say, Jack, what in the world are you saying? Faith says, we are not worthy. You say, well, what? Listen, hang on for a second. I know Oprah disagrees with me on this. I know that Dr. Phil disagrees with me on this. The only thing is, it's not me that they're disagreeing with. This is the Word of God. Watch this. Faith says, I am not worthy. But it says it like this. Are you all watching? Watch this. Faith says, I'm not worthy. Not, I'm not worthy. No, faith says, you know what? I've read the book. I've heard the message. I qualify. I'm not worthy. I can't save myself. I'm not good enough according to God's standards. I can't make it. Those are the very people whom God rescues. I qualify to be rescued by God. Do any of us this morning feel like we don't deserve heaven? It should be every one of us. Man, if you think, well, you know what? Come on. You got some problems. We don't deserve heaven, but he's going to give it to us. It's amazing. When I look at the Bible, I read, I just go, oh God, make me more like this guy, or make me more like that woman. You read the life of Deborah. Oh God, make me like Deborah. Man, I'd be happy to be like Deborah. I mean, she's an amazing chick in the Bible. She believed God and powerful woman. See, the truth of the matter is, none of us are worthy, but that's the wonderful key to Christianity. That's what the Bible teaches. What does Jesus say? The first shall be what? And the last shall be what? The one who gives up his life now, what? Gains it. The Bible says that if we give it back to the Lord, he blesses us. It's a life of holy contradiction. Oh, I want to live an awesome life for God. God says, good, then give me your life. Oh, I'm not talking about blowing yourself up or hurting yourself. God's not interested in that. God says, come to me as a living sacrifice. I want you to live, man. And I'm going to show you how to live. The Bible tells me that when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Are you trying to be good enough? Are you trying to earn your way and keep your record and get the scorecard checked, and you got the baptism down, you got the sacrament thing, you got all these qualifications? What are you doing? Where did you get that from? Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Man, today you'll be with me in paradise if you only get baptized. He didn't say that. You know what? I would have loved to have seen you go to paradise today if you only had a baptism record going on with a couple of tithes here and there along the way. And you know you should have done some children ministry time. No. Jesus turned to that thief on the cross and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's so vitally important. Two things I want you to see regarding this man. As we look at faith says we're not worthy, consider this. We're not worthy to have the Lord be part of our lives. That's a fact. He is God, you guys. He's God. He's Spirit. Do you want to know what the greatest miracle ever of all time, it will ever be? The greatest miracle that has ever been done and will ever be. The greatest. It tops them all. The day that God came to earth and allowed himself to be born into this world as a human being. That's the biggest miracle of all. He came. God is not a superhuman. The Bible says God is spirit. The Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. The Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New, by the way, that we cannot see God in these bodies and live. We've got to be changed. Did you know that? If it's that big of a deal to see the president, can you imagine the changing that must take place before you and I can see God face to face? Can you imagine? We can only imagine. The Bible says we've got to be changed, that this flesh and blood cannot inherit eternity. We've got to be metamorpho, is the word in Greek, metamorphosed. God does the changing. And that's going to happen. And it will happen. Because even though you and I are unworthy of the presence of God and having God be a part of our lives, the truth is, God wants us. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. Notice what he says in verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him saying, Lord, listen to his words. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. What's healthy about this? This man has a true view of himself. Church, listen, this is vital. I know, as I mentioned a moment ago, this is not Oprah and this is not Dr. Phil. This is better. When you understand that God loves you, that Jesus went to the cross, that's how valuable you are. He died for you and I. And then God says, okay, you know what? You're ready for heaven. I've got you saved. You're ready to go. In the meantime, I want you to reach out and bless other people and show them the way. From that moment on, if we walk around focused on ourselves all the time, that's all we think about. Me, myself, and I. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going? Everywhere I go, there I am. It's all about me. If that's the way we're living, listen up. I know this isn't comfortable to modern psychology, but this will never make you happy. You will never be complete. You will never be happy, ever. There is something that God does supernatural. You can criticize what this biblical truth is all day long. But until you die to what the Bible says yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. Do you know there's nothing more wonderful than to do that? And the world says, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. That's crazy. And it is crazy to them. Until they trust the Lord. They put faith in God. And you do it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Faith Has to Say. A look at the opening verses of Luke chapter 7. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, we also want to remind you of a couple of other outreaches here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The first, Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is our television program, which can be seen anytime by online means, including hischannel.com. Hischannel.com also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. The current series is called The Disciplines of Life. Now, remember that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be disciplined by him. Well, that's what the series is about, based on God's written word. The Disciplines of Life on Wednesday evenings on hischannel.com. We have a link at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to contribute to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.